back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week. We have so many announcements.
Take about half the show.
I know. We need to do more stuff.
Yeah, because we don't have anything going on, you know, and we're bored.
That's right. All right. So tonight, Carrie Noyes is going to join us and demonstrate needle lace on the Stitch Hour. So that's 8 o'clock tonight, Eastern Time, on the YouTube channel. So join us for that. She's going to demonstrate it. And if you've never done it, you'll have at least a live showing of how to go about it. I've tried it a couple times and, yeah, not so good. So I'm most interested to learn. Yes.
Yes.
Have you done it?
I have, not very well, and that's why I'm very curious about this.
We're all in the same boat, yeah.
Like, how does she get that tension just right? That's what I want to know.
That's where I get in trouble, yeah. I'm always too tight, yeah. Yeah. And the advice I got was really be almost sloppy, like looser than you think. And that's hard.
Okay, I haven't tried that. All right, because I was trying to get tighter, and that didn't work, so.
That was the advice I got, yeah. And that was hard for me, so I really struggled. So we'll see. So that's tonight at 8 o'clock on the YouTube channel. Next Wednesday is the third Wednesday. So that is Thread Talk with Kathy Ray. And then we're doing a show, the guest on July 25, our guest will be Cindy Gershon. And Cindy is a judge and needlework appraiser. And so we're going to do a podcast on Sunday and talk about the various things that she sees as a judge that people can use to improve or that people tend to do well or places where people struggle, those kinds of things. So she's going to give us a judge's perspective in the show on Sunday the 25th. And then she will be with us Wednesday the 28th to demonstrate. So she'll have some live examples, we'll have photos, and then she'll talk about it and you can see what she's talking about. So you get a 1-2 punch from a needlework judge that all designed to help you improve your stitching. So looking forward to that. That's going to be good.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
So that's the 25th. And then this Sunday, now you know her, or at least you have experience with her designs. Melinda Sherbring will be our guest this Sunday. Embroiderer,
yes.
And what, did you guys, your group did a project or something?
No, we're getting ready to. She has put out, it's through EGA, group correspondence course. We're going to do the More Than a Rose.
Okay.
Group correspondence course.
And yeah.
Yes. Very excited about that. I posted it and all of a sudden people had already ordered their kits and they're ready to go. I'm like, oh great. Okay.
Got one. Got a good one.
Yes. Yes. Perfect.
Yep. So Melinda will be our guest on Sunday. And then of course we have all of the stitch along things that we're doing. Marion Lang, which is wetalkfiber.com/Lang. If you want to join in on that, Mary Jane Fry, 1861, that's wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861 and 1861 kit. And these get you to Sassy Jack's. Then if you go to sassyjackstitchery.com or the attic, either way, Botany Bay sampler, you can get kits. Oh, that's a good sampler. I'm going to get ready and start on that, I think. And then also Joanna Kabanoff's Take Wing at Sassy Jack's. And that's wetalkfiber.com/wing. You can join in on that one. That's another excellent design from Joanna Kabanoff. And some very nice specialty threads with that come with the kit. So that's a good one. And then, of course, the Spring Hill sampler from Karen Kluba at Needle in a Haystack. So that's wetalkfiber.com/Spring Hill, where you can find the kits, the three kits that the three of us are doing. So all of those at play, and none of us are very far along on really any of them, so you can join in and
yeah, join the
behind.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Jump in.
They're all beautiful. It's like we want to, we were going to stitch them all. Just start one and join us. It'll be fun.
Yep. Yep. You have not missed out. You have not. No.
No.
Okay. A couple of big announcements. Pretty excited about both of these. So July 30th is World Embroidery Day. And we're going to do a show, a live show, in the afternoon from 2 to 5 Eastern time. So it's just going to be a live stitch and chat show from 2 to 5 Eastern time on July 30. That's a Friday afternoon, and we're doing it in the afternoon, and that way European people can participate. Sorry, Australia, but can only get one at a time. So European people will be able to participate. And the plan is just going to be stitch and chat, but we're going to have three designers join us, one each hour. So a three-hour show and one each hour. And one is going to be Natalie Dupuy. She's already signed up. And I'm waiting to hear from other designers to fill the other two slots. So we'll have just a three-hour stitch and chat show to commemorate World Embroidery Day. Nothing fancy. You can just bring your stitching, sit there, listen. Obviously, the comments will be open, so you'll be able to ask questions of the designers. And just join us for 3 hours in the afternoon. And if you're in Europe, it'll be the evening. And we'll just have a little fun on World Embroidery Day. Yay.
Yeah, it's nice because a lot of times people will suggest you go stitch in public. Well, you know, some people are still very uncomfortable doing that, going to a coffee shop and stitching or stitching out somewhere. So this is great. We can stitch virtually together, and that's fabulous.
Yep. So that's going to be fun. Yeah, looking forward to that. Yep. A Friday afternoon of stitching.
And you haven't stitched in a while. So you get 3 hours.
I know. Yeah, I stitched last Wednesday and had to rip half of it out because I wasn't paying attention. So, yeah. Oh. But I think some stitching is going to happen in the next couple of days. I'm actually getting healthier now and able to sit up and function without coughing my brains out. So there may be some stitching going on here while I watch the Tour de France. Tour de France. I'll be cultured.
Yes.
Then the EGA seminar in September is live. And we've been working on this for a while, and we just got word the other day that Jennifer Beth and I will be able to be at the seminar for the entire seminar, and we'll be doing live shows and interviews and showing you the exhibits and talking about the seminar. So this registration for the seminar is closed. So if you were not able to get there, can't travel, whatever, we're going to do our best to bring you the EGA seminar through live shows and recorded videos. I'm really excited. I think this is going to be cool.
I am. I've been to a couple of national seminars, and it is an experience different than I think going to what you all have gone to in Nashville.
Right.
This is mainly classes, although they do have a store. Show up.
Yes. So, yeah, and there's
it'll be fun.
There is an exhibit of some kind, isn't there?
Right, a big
yeah.
Yes, there is an exhibit, so you can see people stitching. I think one of the big groups does one too, but I can't remember if they're exhibiting.
Oh, okay.
There or not.
So. What? Yeah.
But anyway, yes. It'll be fun. Yes. Yes.
Gonna be fun. So we'll be in Chicago.
And classes. And, yeah. Classes, teachers. Wow.
Yep. So we'll be lining things up, coming up here to get for interviews and figuring out live shows. We'll get a consistent time for the live show, so you'll know you'll be able to tune in and plan on it. It won't be random. We'll make that consistent, so that you can get the full sharing of what we have to offer. And if there are any shops out there who want to sponsor segments, let me know. We are looking for sponsors to help offset some of the costs. And so we appreciate any sponsorship offers from shops or designers. And yeah, that's going to be fun. Now, see, I've been to the Nashville market, which is, I'm sure, quite different. But I've never been to an EGA or ANG seminar. So it's going to be a new experience all the way around for me. And I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it is fun.
So two big announcements there. That's pretty good. World Embroidery Day is July 30, 2 to 5 Eastern. And then we'll have much more on the EGA seminars, things take hold. But, yeah, that's going to be fun. So, other than that.
We don't have anything going on.
Nope. Nope. Killing time.
Oh, wait.
What, we do? Oh, you're right.
Friday.
Say it. Oh, yes. I didn't write it down.
Friday, July 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be talking about our painted canvases.
Yes.
Now, is Jane Wood joining us?
No.
Or are we just, no. You couldn't talk her into it, huh?
No. Me and you and a dog named Boo is what that is. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So, yeah. So, we started the painted canvas. We talked about that. And we're going to, Jane Wood has already fed us a whole bunch of information. So, and we've already got at least a couple people who have said they have either uncovered canvases or bought a canvas and want to join us. So, for this little venture. So we're going to share what we've been thinking about and share what Jane Wood has offered as we get started on this project. And it'll be live and video. So we'll be looking at our canvases as we talk. And so you'll be able to see what we're talking about. And we'll just go for an hour, but just want to get this started. And we're doing this as live shows and separate from our regular activities, so that if you're not paying, so we aren't taking up time with painted canvas for those who aren't interested, because we appreciate that it's a large group of people, but in comparison, not gigantic. So we'll do a separate live shows, and we'll do them with some regularity as we get the project moving. But right now we have lots of ideas in our heads, so we want to share them. And you know, the last week when we talked, just you and me talking was a huge help. I don't know if you did, but I got a lot out of just our discussion.
Right. I did too. And I think that it does help to, you know, have someone to bounce ideas off of for your canvas and your project. So yeah, this will be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to just, you know, maybe somebody will get on who has done painted canvases and can help us along too. So that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you join us in the audience and offer input, we're absolute blank slates here. So,
Right.
In oh so many ways. But yeah, if you have suggestions, join us. Help. Yep. And others, because I know of two people who have canvases who have communicated that they're going to join us on this little adventure. So that means if there's two, there's more, and everybody wants to learn. So let's learn together, and maybe we'll come out with some nice canvases. It should be fun.
Right. And we're learning something. We're learning something new. It's just, you know, a new skill.
Yep.
With our hobby.
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Friday night. And no guarantee that it's always going to be on Friday nights. Beth and I have these lives that we lead, so we fit them in as best we can. But we'll announce ahead of time when we're going to do it, so you'll know. You know, always a plus if you subscribe. If you subscribe to the YouTube channel, if you subscribe on Instagram, if you subscribe to our Facebook page. But Instagram is really excellent. And then the YouTube channel, you'll get the notifications automatically. But subscribing really helps you stay informed about what we're doing, particularly Instagram and YouTube. That's really the way to go. Yeah. Get on those lists. Yeah.
And then you're going to just get a notification like, oh, they're going live, those crazy people.
Yep. as with everything, all recorded, so you can go back and watch it again. Or if you're in Europe or Australia and can't get it, then you can get it after the fact. But live is always better because we get the discussions and the questions, and we really do appreciate questions and comments from people. So,
yes, that makes it interesting for us too.
Yep, it does. So there, now is that it? That the end of the list?
I think that's it. Okay. I think we're done with the announcements.
That only took 15 minutes. That's pretty good.
And there's the. Yeah, great. All right, we have this list.
Yes.
That we're going to try to talk through at least one issue. One issue.
Right.
I was working on my Royal Garden piece because I am bound and determined to get something finished before the end of the year. My commitment. You know, like I have too many projects started and nothing done. Just after a while, it's like, okay, something must get done so I can have those stretcher bars or that scroll bar or whatever.
Yes.
But I was working on it and I was having problems with the panache. I think it's panache, the thread that. Yeah, it's a rayon pearl. Smart, I would have grabbed it. But I was going to change out the thread, change to a thinner one. With the silk lame braid, move to the petite, and then use a thinner thread. And I tried it, and I didn't like it. So out that came, because it was too thin. I could see my canvas. And I asked my son, who happened to be home, and I said, hey, what do you think about this? And he goes, I said, you know, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I said, one of these two is being ripped out. So just choose which one I should rip out. And he goes, the one, I don't like this with the thin thread. So I think sometimes people are afraid to tell you, oh, this doesn't look good. I'm going to rip it out. If it doesn't look good, I'm going to rip it out.
Right.
So I ripped that out. But what do you do? Do you experiment like that? Or is that just something, I mean, do you experiment with the weight of the threads? If you already have a kit or something, or exchange out threads if you don't like how they're working.
Sure. But I will admit I'm stubborn and I've worked with that panache stuff. And yeah, I know what you mean. I will put in considerable effort to get the prescribed thread to work, particularly with charted canvas like that. I will fight with it. And sometimes I learn and sometimes I just get madder. But I will work on it. But then if I'm just the point where, you know, I'm so sick of it, I just want to throw it in the basket, then yeah, I'll switch out. I'll find something else. Trying to change threads, particularly with a charted canvas thing, it can put you down a rabbit hole that really, really can suck the momentum right out of your project. And because, you know, those charted canvas things, you know, they're all put together so that everything works. And, you know, you change up front. Like if you're going to do the design into different color and different threads, you do that up front and you plan it all out and then you stick with it. But yeah, I've had instances where in the middle of a project, you know, this thread is just not happening. I'm going to find something else. And then, yeah, you can spend an awful lot of time. And at some point, you just kind of, I think I would try something else for a while.
Right. Well, and I did end up sticking with it because I went and looked at a needlework shop to see if I could find something that I could substitute. And there wasn't anything that would be that color that was shiny and round. And so I ended up doing was using a little bit shorter for a length. You know, the Chili Hollow stitch has like four different starts and stops. And so I'm starting and stopping each one instead of carrying the length of thread because I don't like using that long. And it came out better. So I might end up still taking out the first one because it's frayed. I can see the rubbed where I rubbed it. But I am having a horrible time pulling those threads through the little center part where you weave it. It's just, I've gotten out my pliers and just, I'm like, I hope I don't break my needle, but it's because it's so tight in there. It is a tight pull.
Uh-huh.
It's like, this is one of those times it's like, I wish Gary was up to this point so I could say, Gary, what are you doing with this? Let me see you, watch you stitch this little chili challah.
Well, I'll pull it out and stitch some on the side and see what happens to me. Yeah. I can do that. No, but I know what you mean. And see, that's the trouble. And Debbie Rowley and Curtie Biggs are two of them where, and Royal Garden is one of those designs where what she has put together, that works. But if you try to get outside of that, it can come apart in a hurry and just not be right. And I know what you mean. The shine, the color, and it won't be right, and it'll bug you more than if you fight with the thread. And
I did give up on one of them. I could not keep, and I think it was a DMC light effects or something, and it just kept, I mean, I could not get the stitch to look the way I wanted. And it was, now, I mean, it was something I've done a million times. I mean, I know I can do the stitch, but I couldn't use it with the thread. And I ended up going to a purl. And you know what? It still looks okay. Uh-huh. But I looked around the design and I said, okay, what can I use? What can I substitute here that I can still get this piece to work? And I think it looks fine. It probably would look better with what Debbie picked, but I could not get that thread to work. I was literally ready to take the whole piece and chuck it into the trash can because I couldn't get that thread to work.
What is with DMC? If it's not cotton, they just struggle, don't they?
Man. They do. I think the Atoll, the new one, is supposed to be nice to stitch with. I've only tried it, I think, once, and it worked fine for whatever I was using it for. But I've only used it one time. So
okay. Yeah. Any of those specialty things that they come up with just seem to get people mm-hmm. gnashing teeth in a hurry. I don't know what the deal is.
Right. And the rayon, most people do have problems with the rayon anyway, because it's so easy to untwist or fray or whatever.
Yeah. Rayon just is generally annoying, but, they struggle. They really do. But yeah, mm-hmm. That's the thing. And that's where I'm most interested with the painted canvas, where we're starting with putting our own threads together. Where, you know, because that those will be pieces where there's a variety of threads, just like a charted canvas thing, but we're putting them together. So will we feel more freedom? What will we do there? I don't know.
Right. Because sometimes you're going to, like, certain places will call for, I mean, it'll almost, especially on your bird, where your birds, it's going to, at one point, it's going to scream, you have to use me. You have to use this certain thread. You might not like it, but it's the only thing that'll make that canvas sing.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what we come up with.
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the process probably much more than I am the stitching. I mean, the process of putting it together is going to be really educational. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is. You know, Beth Lindsay wrote to me the other day. She was had been binge listening to shows. And she made a comment, and we've talked about this before, but about how, because she said that we had gotten her talking about playing with threads. And she commented what we had talked about before, too, where as you get older, you almost start to fear just taking some thread and playing and just seeing what you can do. And you get so focused on stitching and doing it right. And she brought that up and she said she was working to basically force herself to just let her mind go a little bit. And yeah,
that's a good point, because I know, I mean, when my kids were little, I had a train painted canvas and it did not have a stitch guide. I did it totally on my own. Why wasn't I terrified to do that? I don't know, but I was dumb, I guess. I just, hey, this will work. And I just started. I did have a friend. I was living in St. Paul at the time, though. I did have a friend that was a painted canvas person, and she helped me with it.
Yeah.
She would make suggestions. So I guess I wasn't out all by myself, but still,
right.
You know, just to stop and just to play, say, okay, I'm just going to play with this. I'm going to see what happens if I do this. And it's like, almost like the threads are too precious to play with, you know, they do make more threads.
Yeah, they do every day.
They make a lot. every day. You can get more of them. We're like, oh, this is too precious. You know, I'm not going to use these silks because, you know, they're too special. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to wait until when you die, someone else is going to take them. They're either going to be junk and thrown away, or, you know, someone else will use them. So yeah. Might as well use them and enjoy them and just play with them.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I've had that thought too. Oh, I have these really nice threads. Oh, I don't want to use them for this. I'm saving them for something special. And I still have them years later. And, well, when's the something special going to come along? And you know, and just what is that something special? Just use them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm going to do with this painted canvas, is I'm going to go through my threads and say, okay, make sure they're the right colors. But just because I love threads and different textures, and say, okay, I'm going to use what I have out of my stash as much as I can. Now, I might end up having, you know, to supplement that to get the look I want, and I don't mind doing that. But I'm going to, because I collect these colors, these are the colors I love, I should have plenty of threads in these colorways.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm going to use as much stash as I can in this deal. Because, yeah, if I'm going to have all these threads, what for? Just
right.
Use them up, yeah.
And might as well use them.
Yep.
Use them and enjoy them.
Yep.
Use them and enjoy them.
So, yeah, no, exactly that. But now Jane, and we'll talk about this more on Friday, Jane has been looking into silk straw for my birds. And I don't have any of that.
Oh.
But so, yeah. Yeah, the crest.
No, you need silk straw. Yes.
Yep. You had suggested
that. I have stitched
with
that. It's a fun thread. It's a fun thread.
Okay. So, well, she picked up on that, and she's fed me some colors and so on and so forth. So I think that's going to be part of the deal, because, well, just for the experience of it, you know, why not?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, when else are you going to use that type of thread?
Right.
It's very unusual.
There's one where I was in a store and I picked up two skeins of silk straw thread 4 years ago.
Okay.
Boy, this will be really cool to play with. I'm just going to take a couple of colors I like and just play with it and see. You want to know how much I've used them? None.
Zero?
Zero. Zero. Haven't even taken them off the card. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you, I know you probably don't have the right needles for this, but they're fun to make bullion knots with. They're kind of, I think I split it and made a bullion, some shorter bullion knots with them. But I'm wondering if you got a big needle and made really, really long bullion knots with them.
For those birds?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Put that on the list for Friday. We're talking about it. Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you might as well go crazy. I didn't pay anything for the canvas, so might as well go crazy. Yep.
Right. You might say bad words, but you know.
Okay, that won't be the first time. So, oh, you had posted on Instagram. You posted on Instagram. I want to put a plug in. Because you had shown a set of Adjust-A-Frames stretcher bars.
Yes, right. I was getting news. A lot of people were contacting me. They'd been listening to the show, and they're like, are you going to do painted canvas? What are you using? Do you need Evertites? Can you use artists? And I was like, well, Evertites are hard to get. But actually, I reposted it from Jane Jane Wood has a review on her page on her blog spot of those advertisements. And the Adjust-A-Frames,
right.
And I actually like them better.
Yeah,
they're easier to put together. You can get in all sorts of sizes, and he's fast. I was surprised by how fast he was. Say, I know I live a little bit away from Chicagoland, where he was, like 3 hours, but still, he had to make them and send them out to me. I think I got him within 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's fast. He used to live about 50 or when I was lived in Illinois. He was about 15 miles from me, so I'd get him. I'd just drive over to his house and pick him up. But yeah, I'd place an order, and then by the next morning, I'd get an email. They're ready to go. Come pick them up. And yeah, he's that fast.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're my favorite. I have a whole bunch of them, but now I think for this canvas, I'm gonna have to get another set. But I'm with you 100%. They're a wider wood, so I think it's a more stable mount. You're able to stretch everything, I think, easier. And the price isn't any better or worse. Might even be a little cheaper. But yeah, they're just really good quality. I think he does a good job.
And I do like how they assemble easier. I did put my canvases on Evertights because I had the right size.
Yeah.
And they were empty, which all miracles in and of itself. But I had to go find my husband's mallet and kind of bang them a little bit to get them together because it was that tight of a fit.
Mm-hmm.
So I like his assembly of Adjust-A-Frames better. So,
yep.
Yeah. You don't want to borrow your husband's mallets.
As long as you put it back.
Yes, put it back where it belongs. It's all right.
Yep. But yeah, highly recommend the Adjust-A-Frame. Is it Gary Hoffman? I can't reach him right now, but we'll talk about him. I'll have him out, and we'll put a link on Friday night. So if people are interested, you can order from him. And as always, mention Fiber Talk, please, if you order, it helps. But yes, they're wonderful. Yeah. I think probably the best adjustable frame. Yeah, I think better than Evertights. Yeah, I will recommend that if you buy Adjust-A-Frames, I buy them an inch smaller than the canvas size. So if you have a 10 by 10 canvas, I buy 9 by 9 Adjust-A-Frames. And I do that because then that gets the tacks more in the middle of the wood. They'll fit on 10 by 10s, but it's on the tacks for me will then end up toward the inner edge. But if you do 9 by 9, then you're tacking in the middle of the frame wood. And so I think you get a better platform for the canvas, and it's easier to get it equally taut on all four sides. So, do what you want, but that's what has worked well for me is 1 inch smaller size. So a 10 by 10 canvas, get 9 by 9 Adjust-A-Frames. And I think you'll be happier with it. At least I have been. You know, your mileage may vary, but I have been happier. So I make that a regular practice. Do not send me. If you don't like them, don't send them to me. Just use them, save them for another smaller canvas.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I can't remember what I ordered. I just ordered what I measured the canvas and I got whatever I thought I needed.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah.
I loved them. I love what I put on them. So,
yep. And I'll put a link so that people can get them. And you write to him and then he'll send you a price list. He doesn't have a website.
Right.
You send email. He'll send you a price list.
It's just, and I think he's just, remember, it's a one-man shop, like a lot of things. So give him some time.
He literally works out of his townhome. Yes. And I'm sure it's a wood shop in the basement, but yeah, it's not a factory. But he's fast.
But not a bunch of people working there. So.
No. But he's fast. No. He'll get him out. You had mentioned, now this is a topic that I thought I keep wanting to get to, that you had talked about make bad art, make bad needlework. I find if I try to make every stitch perfect, mm-hmm. I stop stitching.
Yes. I find, you know, I try to make my stitches better when I stitch. But sometimes I find if all I'm doing is trying to get it absolutely perfect, then I don't want to stitch. The joy goes out of it for me. But I'm not a perfectionist, so I don't find joy in it being perfect. I find joy in the actual physical needle going in and out of the thread, out of the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my joy comes from, and seeing colors develop and textures or whatever. But sometimes, like, well, the Royal Garden needlework, I mean, I guess if I had worked and worked and worked at it and been stubborn like you, maybe I could have gotten the thread to work for myself. But I got to the point where it was like, okay, this is going to stop me, and I'm not going to work on it, or I'm going to change the thread. And I changed the thread. And yeah. I think it's just a personal love. I made a mistake on Anya's Day the other day. And it was, I went over one thread instead of over two. And I didn't find it until I was like way, way down. And I thought, okay, I can go and I can rip this out, or I can keep moving. And I kept moving, because I went, and the next time I worked on that spot, I added one more thread. I did another single stitch, so it's back right, uh-huh. correct. But I thought, you know, a perfectionist would have ripped this out. A perfectionist would have said, oh, this has got to come out. This is going to bug me. And so far, it hasn't bugged me. And I know when you look at it from far away, you're not going to see it.
Yeah.
It's never going to be judged. It won't be judged, because I know that piece has too many mistakes in it. My tension's off. My stitches are a little wonky, but that's all right. Because anyone who I have friends, I showed it to a couple of friends last weekend. We were out girlfriend day, and they were just like blown away. They just think the piece is just gorgeous. And it is, it's a beautiful piece. But if you're a needlework judge or you're a perfectionist, it would bug you. It just would. But I'm enjoying it. I'm finding joy in stitching it.
Well, it's beautiful.
But it's a beautiful piece. The design's beautiful. But I don't have to make it perfect.
Yeah.
Because I would stop. I just wouldn't stitch if I had to make everything perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's other people like me.
Well, see, and that's really hard for me.
Yeah.
Really hard for me. But I will admit that in Hannah Longstreth, there are a couple of errors there that I had done the same thing and gotten too far along. And the rip out was going to be pretty significant. And I let them go. And now I can't even remember where they're at. And I'm not even sure if I hauled it out, I'm not even sure I could find them. So then, in retrospect, you go, well, then why all of the consternation if 3 months later I couldn't pick them out? I couldn't, and I did them. You know, so that means no one else could find them. So let's move on. But that's hard. That's hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's – I worked on Margaret Benning's Uncle Sam's hat. And I carefully laid every single – up and down, you know, I was very, very careful. And I'm very proud of how that came out. My stitches are very well laid. But I really wanted to do that. I wanted to take the time to do it. So I went very, very slowly on it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I find that's not where I find my joy. I find my joy in just stitching it in the up and, you know, and sometimes I will take out. If it bugs me, I'll take it out.
Yeah, yeah.
If I can see it. If I go back now, I might get a little further along and say, okay, I can really see this and my eye is drawn to it every time I look at it. It'll have this row in Agnus Dei will have to come out. And I have done that, where I've ripped out 2 or 3 days or more of stitching because it just bugs me.
Yeah.
For the most part, it doesn't. And I just move on. I just move on.
Yeah.
If not, nothing gets done. And I do like to, I like that. My husband would like me to finish things, you know, and be like, okay, how many projects do you have going now? just a few, dear. Just a few. That's been out for a long time.
Yeah. Just go play your guitar and leave me alone. Yeah. But it really is a thing. It's a mental thing. It's hard for me. And I really have to work at it. And it's hard for me to make that conscious decision. Just let it go. And I know a lot of people, it's not that big a deal for them, but it gets to that thing that Beth Lindsay was talking about is that freedom to play, that freedom to mm-hmm. vary from the instructions. And, you know, it's hard. And it must be, it's life. I mean, life does it to you. You know, your job, you got to get your job right all the time. And everybody's looking over right. your shoulder and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, where's the freedom to just monkey around? I don't know.
To me, that's the fun in the needlework is I was working on Ariane Zurcher piece, the Japanese rice bag. And I bought it because I wanted the pattern. You know, I'm sure I could have found a different bag, but I just enjoyed it. But I was working on it. And I was trying to follow her pattern exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't. I was like, I just can't do this. And I would put like a threadful in and I would be like, okay, I'm done. I can't work it. So I finally said, I don't have to do what she's doing. I'm just using hers as a jumping off space.
Yeah.
And then it just freed me up and I just started playing. It doesn't look as good as hers. Probably not. But you know what? I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying playing with the threads. I'm enjoying playing with the pattern and I'm learning as I go. And that's to me the joy of it.
Yeah. Well, she's Ariane Zurcher. If you've not followed her, follow her YouTube channel, Zurcher. We did a show with her a few months ago. But she's one of those that is fascinating to watch because she does what's in her head. She's a true artist in
yes.
that. Yeah, she does what's in her head. She's not following any instructions other than what comes out of her little mind. And it's fun to watch because mm-hmm. the freedom really shows up there.
And she does say she rips things out if she doesn't like it. She said, she'll say, well, you know, I did remember that section I did here. She said, it didn't look good. So I took it all out. Or she'll say, well, this isn't quite right. So I need to add more layers to the top of it. And that's the type of needlework she does.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think we can do that. You know, whether you're doing cross stitch, whether you're doing needlepoint canvases, we can all say, okay, I'm going to play with this. I'm going to, you know, change the color, change the stitch a little, instead of doing eyelets, which people don't like doing a Smyrna cross or whatever. It just, you know, just play with it.
Yeah.
Add a slightly thicker thread if you can. It just makes it a lot more fun, I think.
Yep.
But you have to give yourself permission. And I think as adults that, you know, someone said kids are always being artistic. They're always playing or, you know, they're coloring, they'll express themselves somehow creatively. As adults, we kind of lose that, I think. And to capture that back is difficult.
Yeah. Really, really difficult. Yes. Really difficult. yeah. Cause you just, and you know, and then you do it and then you want to show someone, but the, and on the back of your mind, the little voice is going, is this good enough? I don't know. Is it good enough?
Right.
And what do they know? What do they know? It's like I always
right.
said. I always said to handbell players, you know, when you make mistakes, you know, don't grimace. Just keep playing. And when people say, "Wow, that was really great," don't tell them the truth. Say thank you. Glad you enjoyed it. You know, because that you know you practice and practice to get it right. And then, you know, there's that fleeting moment in the middle of a song where you just get out of whack and you have to recover.
Right.
And you can't show it. And the audience doesn't know. They have no idea.
No.
And so don't tell them the truth. Just say thank you and be glad they enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Hannah Long stress story. Okay. So we're a part of, okay. Part of any moving is then building the house and decorating. And Marga is a hang stuff on the wall kind of person. She likes things, you know. And outside my studio is this blank wall. And I have two clocks, two chime clocks. One is a mantle clock that came from my grandmother. And that sits downstairs in the living room on a bookcase. And then I have a wall clock. And these are ones with swinging pendulums and Westminster chimes and that kind of thing. We don't run them because they're chiming all the time, you know. But they're beautiful. So this wall clock my aunt gave me when she died. Marga said, I want it to go on the wall outside of your studio. And it's a heavy clock. So it has to go on a stud basically to hold up securely. Well, in the center of the wall, there was no stud, of course. So I had been delaying it because I had to figure out, and there's one hole in the back to hang on. You know, it's not, two would be better, but there's one hole in the back of the clock. So I figured out how I was going to put in a wall anchor that was going to be strong enough and that I could have the screw protruding and get it hung up. So she was gone the other day, and I got out the tools, and I found the center of the wall and got everything lined up just so. And so the only thing I needed to know was how high she wanted it. She came home. She goes, I see that you've spent quite a bit of time getting that all centered and lined up and just so. I don't want it in the middle. It's like, oh, jeez. She said, I know it has to go on a stud, and I want it over here to the side. If there's a stud over there, mark it, hang it there. Hang it high. And I said, and there was about a third of the way from the edge, because it's at the edge of a staircase, so about a third of the way in, there was a stud. I said, okay, but now what about all this other blank wall? Because it's way off center, you know. Well, she said, that's where Hannah right. Longstreth is going.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this old clock and then Hannah Longstreth. Yep. Yeah.
Perfect.
So I just kind of stood there.
You have to take a photo of it.
Yep. Way to go, Marga. Way to go. Yep. So that was pretty cool. So now I just got to get Hannah framed, but, details. But yeah, she said, that's where Hannah's going. Oh.
You have to find a good framer now.
Yes. Yes.
Because you're in a new town.
I know.
You know, and how backlogged are everybody? Is everybody? I don't know. I know finishing is way backlogged everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Just a thought.
I don't know. I think I'll be going to the Needlepoint Clubhouse to see Megan, and she must have a good framer. So there's got to be somebody in St. Louis, for crying out loud. But yeah.
Yes.
But now that I know where Hannah Longstreth is going next to that clock, now I want it framed bad, really bad. So, yep.
Oh.
Yep. So bravo there.
Yeah, that'll be fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to look really great. Yep. So, and it's a nice, it's an oak clock, a light oak clock. So then I'll have to get a frame that complements that. But that's Marga's deal. I just do the needlework. So,
Oh, yeah. So she's in charge of frames.
Oh, yeah, all the time. No, here's the needlework. I don't want to hear about it. Yep. Because my input, my input's useless, trust me. I won't have the mat right, or the frame will be too thick or too thin. No, I'm out. I'm out. Nope. I don't
know. You're out? Oh, God. Yep. Oh, good. At least you have someone to do that for you, you know?
Right.
You have people.
I do. But no, I'm out. And then, does it look good? Yeah, it looks great. Let's go with it. Yep, make it work. All right, that's going to be it, I think. So tonight, we have Carrie Noes to teach us needle lace. Kathy Ray next Wednesday to talk about threads. And yep. Friday night at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk about our painted canvas. And then July 30, from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to celebrate World Embroidery Day with 3 hours of stitch and chat with some designers.
It'll be fun.
It will. That's it. We're done. Thanks for listening.
Okay.